From our psalm today, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Please be seated. Amen. So my son Eli is home from college this weekend. And as I was driving him home, he informed me that yesterday, he was going to go trade motorcycles with a guy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So I got up yesterday to go with him. And after passing through a whole lot more rain than I'd planned on, we met the guy, and we did the deal, and we rode off. And as we rode off, Eli informed me that instead of coming home with me as I had anticipated, right? He was going to go to a local coffee shop and dry out and wait for his buddies to join him because they had plans in that area. As I thought about this, the main thing I felt was anxiety. Now, I trust Eli. He's smart, he's capable, he's responsible. He always tries to do the right thing, but as a parent, that doesn't stop me from worrying about him. He was on what was to him a new, but it wasn't very new, motorcycle. Did it have a problem that he didn't know about yet? Would that vehicle make the trip back to Glassboro from 100 miles away? How was he going to do driving this new vehicle he had been on for a total of half a mile before I left? And how would he do driving in the rain? And in the dark, when his buddies were finally ready to head towards home? Even in the best of times, and in the best of situations, most of us worry. It can be a habit. Anxiety is a part of all of our lives. It's part of life. And anxiety can have lots of negative effects in our lives. Right? Taken to an extreme, anxiety can impair our health or crush our creativity. But one good thing that anxiety does, when I'm alert to it, when I'm responding as my best self, is anxiety brings me to prayer. For me, the prayer of faith is where I can bring things when they get too big for me. Right? I can come to God and say, God, I can't do this. Prayer is where I gain a new perspective and remember that God is God and I am not. And the church, this is where I learned to pray. This October is stewardship season at St. Thomas. This is the time where we talk about giving. And today I want to talk specifically about giving to the church. And that conversation begins with the question, why church? Why is church so important that it would be worth giving money to? In addition to time and attention and effort. What is it about church that gets you up on a Sunday morning and brings you here instead of to the ball field or the diner or the couch with the Sunday paper? You know, most people in this world make choices differently from how you do on Sunday mornings. And I'm not saying that to judge other people, but I am saying that to ask, what is it that brings you here? What is it that you find in church that makes it an important part of your life? For me, there are lots of reasons why church is important to me. But one of the important ones for me is that faith, which is what the church teaches me, is the place that I can go to and find consolation in the midst of anxiety. The Holy Spirit, prayer, the church, Holy Scripture, these offer me a new and bigger perspective that help show me that my anxieties are not the world-eating monsters that they seem like sometimes. My anxieties still exist. They're there for a reason. But in church, I gain new perspective to see where their place is in the order of things. The scriptures are often a great resource in my search for perspective and peace and release from anxiety, because God's purpose from the beginning has been to bring freedom to all people. The scriptures give perspective to our lives by reminding us of God's intentions, and today's lessons are fabulous examples of this reality. Our first lesson from the book of Exodus was about the Ten Commandments, right? These ten, let's call them rules of thumb for maintaining your freedom. For example, pro tip. It doesn't matter how angry you are with somebody. Murdering them is not going to make your life better. The Ten Commandments offer freedom. Similarly, in the epistle today, St. Paul acknowledges that after he came to know Jesus Christ, all his religious training, all his credentials, all his status became for him skubala, rubbish, useless. Because what Jesus offered was freedom and an unconditional embrace. This week at Clergy Day, Bishop Sally preached about our gospel lesson today, about the parable of the tenants in the vineyard. And she talked about how bonkers it is that the conspirators in the story really believed that if they killed the heir, some reason they would be given the inheritance. And as Jesus and his interlocutors both agreed, this was not going to end well for the tenants. This was not the road to freedom. Now last week, after the 10:30 service, a number of people came up to me with their faces lit up saying, "Wow, what a great day of worship together." They enjoyed seeing one another after the long summer. They enjoyed the opportunity to meet in the nave. They enjoyed the fantastic music with our choir singing and an experienced accompanist playing. When we gather as church, we gather to enact God's reality, to enact the same liturgy which was the Word that became flesh, Jesus Christ. Seminary professor James Farwell says that what we do when we celebrate liturgy together is to enact, quote, the world as it truly is, or might be, or ought to be, or is coming to be. We see in liturgy the world from a new and truer perspective. In liturgy, we escape imprisonment by our anxiety and all the demands placed upon us and the negativity that sometimes seems to be coming at us from a fire hose of social media and television and sometimes even our families. In liturgy, we step away from those things. We choose not to use them to orient our world, but instead to remember that God is God. And that it is God's world in which we live. So the church exists to call us back again and again to life in the kingdom of God, instead of all those lesser kingdoms in which we repeatedly find ourselves running around. In church, we learn to gossip the gospel, the good news, that the creator and sovereign of the universe is our God. And that all the things that make us anxious, they can safely be left in God's care, not ours. God can do something, even and especially when we can't. God makes a way out of no way. God sets us free. Now, many of you know that this summer I was on sabbatical for a couple months. And one of the important functions of a sabbatical is to gain new perspective. This summer, during my sabbatical, I visited different parishes every Sunday, looking for perspective to inform my work here at St. Thomas. And while visiting around, I noticed how I enjoyed all the different musical styles of all these different churches. And they made me think about how much I love how here at St. Thomas, we are a singing church. We are a church that loves to sing together. And I remembered how when I was interviewing with the search committee here, I talked to them about how beautiful liturgy is important to me, and that's one of the things that I wanted to nurture here at St. Thomas. And so when I came back from sabbatical, one of the first things I did was to meet with the wardens. I told them that I had been dreaming about the function of a music director for St. Thomas, someone to play both the Saturday night and the Sunday main services, someone to direct the choir from week to week and year to year, maybe someone who would be better at selecting hymns than I am. Now, in the past, we have been served by some generous volunteers here at St. Thomas. We've even hired some hardworking students to help us out. I'm particularly enjoying working with Sean. He's gotten to know us over the last couple of years. He's gotten to know how things work at St. Thomas. And I love the way he can just blend into the fabric of our liturgy so naturally, you might forget he's there. And so as I rested on my sabbatical, thinking about why St. Thomas is important to me, and what it is that I hope for this parish, I became convinced that it is time for St. Thomas to hire a part-time professional music director to help us walk forward into a thriving future. And so I began to talk about this idea with just a small group, around a dozen people. And even among those dozen, I found sufficient enthusiasm that they offered pledges for $10,000, which is half of the amount we need to hire somebody. This is something we can do. A strong response to this year's pledge campaign, strong commitments to the continuing life of this parish, these things can make this happen. And I firmly believe that once you experience what the worship of St. Thomas is like with this addition, you're never going to want to go back. And so this is stewardship season here at St. Thomas. This is the time for dreams. Dreaming about what St. Thomas is going to be like next year and in the years to come. This is the time when we meet God and together, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin right now to determine what the future of St. Thomas is going to look like. And that brings me all the way back around to the question I started with. Why are you here today? Why does St. Thomas matter to you? I come sometimes to find consolation in the midst of my anxieties. And I come sometimes to offer thanksgiving and praise when I'm given the grace to see God's goodness. Eli made it home last night, safe and sound. I don't know what time it was. And this morning, before the 8 o'clock started, he was out with his buddies again. I didn't realize that fall break was for him to see his buddies, not us. But whatever it is that brought you here today, I invite you to consider that reason and its significance to you as you pray about how you might wish to respond to the pledge cards that will be mailed out in the next week or so. God has brought you and me, to all of us together, in order to accomplish God's purpose among us. And chief among God's purposes, told us Jesus, is freedom. Freedom from the anxieties and the fatigue which bind us and limit us. The freedom of living under a king who is not money or materialism, in a kingdom where there is no lack or want. Instead, there is only abundance, full acceptance, and joy. Amen.